Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Namaste, yogis. This is Andrew Seeley here to welcome you to the Yoga Revealed podcast. Wow, I am so excited to share this episode with you today. As some of you may know, I've been working with Rachel Braben, otherwise known as Yoga Girl, and we're releasing an amazing acro yoga series that's going to be accessible to you this month. In connecting with Rachel for the past 2 years, I've realized how dedicated she is to sharing yoga as a path for healing for millions. Rachel is an absolute inspiration to millennials worldwide. She uses her transparent vulnerability to reach over 1.8 million followers and has aligned with some of the world's best authorities in yoga to create a unique online platform called 108TV. But most important, we will reveal how Rachel went from a troubled teen in Sweden to the yoga girl we know and love today. Get ready to shine with love from within as we find the heart of true compassion with Rachel Braben on this outstanding episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. Namaste, Rachel.
Namaste.
Great joy to have you on the Yoga Revealed podcast today. And it's an absolute, just complete blessing to be here in Aruba in your house, enjoying great time together and sitting here to have a conversation about your experience and how yoga was first revealed to you.
I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank you for having me. So we just finished up this amazing 108 filming for your beautiful organization. And it just excites me to have met you probably about a year and a half ago now and to see how much you've grown and how much you've shared with your following and how much value you're bringing to the world. So I wanted to start with how yoga was first revealed to you.
How yoga was first revealed to me ever. Well, I took my first ever yoga class with my mom who you've met throughout these days.
Yes, I have met
her. Yoga mom. You can find her on Instagram. She's yoga mom.
She's
now.
Pretty awesome.
And we went to, I was 16, I think, we went to on a family vacation to Thailand, and I'd never had any experience with, you know, yoga, meditation, anything in that realm of life. And took a yoga class there, in the grass, on the little bamboo mats. And I don't remember really much of it, but I just remember that was my first ever experience. But it would still be 2 or 3 years before I found yoga real, which was later in time in Costa Rica, where I lived for a while.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So in that transition from maybe like practicing a few times to actually, like, did you start to develop a home practice, or was it something that kind of just adapted into your lifestyle?
I had a lot of pain. So when I started, I mean, my whole life I've had a lot of back pain. I have a little bit of scoliosis. I had a bad car accident, so I've always had lower back, mid back, and neck pain almost my whole life. Mm-hmm. So I found meditation first. Actually, I was meditating since I was 18, and yoga was not a big step away from that. But I was really, really terrified to move my body freely. I was always scared that whatever I did, if I bend over to tie my shoes, or, you know, just woke up in the morning, I would reach for my alarm clock, something would snap in my spine, and then I would be out for days. I was really, really nervous when it came to asana in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I had probably about 2 years of really mellow hatha Iyengar based practice where it's kind of me figuring out, you know, what can my body do? What hurts? Where is my imbalance? Where is this pain coming from? And it took a long time for me to feel safe, actually.
Oh, that's awesome. So why did meditation resonate so well with you at first?
It didn't. Actually, it was actually my mom who sent me to a meditation center, a meditation retreat when I was 18. I was going through a really, really rough time at home. I was drinking a lot. I was really destructive. I was depressed, really unhappy. Mm-hmm. And she had been to this place, like a therapeutic meditation center. And she was like, you know what? This is something you have to do. Go. And I was forced because I was thrown into this completely different way of life. So for the week I was there, the first time I was there, it was just such a big contrast that I think I had no other choice but to just surrender to this crazy thing that was happening to me, which was, you know, full days of silence and lots of therapy, lots of dynamic meditations.
Wow. So you went from like partying to
Vipassana. I went from like, you know, how am I going to afford to buy fancy purses and get really drunk and like fight with my boyfriend to meditation, which was, it's a pretty big contrast. It changed me.
Definitely.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
And in what way would you say that having that time with yourself of, you know, meditating and beginning to find more of that internal dialogue, how do you think that changed you?
I think it brought a lot to the surface because at that point in my life, I'd never reflected on my body, you know. How do I feel in this body? I never reflected on the food that I ate. I never reflected on my actual state of mind or my state of happiness. I was just really unconsciously, aggressively kind of, you know, moving through life in a really unhappy way. But it wasn't until I realized how unhappy I had been that I had the first thought of like, wow, I actually would like to be happy. I'd never had that realization before. And I found that through meditation, through realizing kind of how chaotic my life was, how destructive I actually was. Moving through life. So it was a big thing for sure. And it didn't, you know, it wasn't like I left that week and then I was a whole new person and life was great. And, you know,
stop
it'd take
that,
me,
you know,
everything was,
purses.
Yeah, I sold everything and I moved. I mean, it was still probably about another year of transition for me where I slowly kind of, you know, let go of some friends, eventually broke up with my boyfriend, started making some changes, started meditating daily. Eventually that led me to leave Sweden for the first time, and I went to Costa Rica to explore.
Wow. How was that?
It was magical.
Yeah,
it was,
Costa Rica was your spot.
Costa Rica was my spot. Yeah, I don't know if it was, like, you know, anywhere I would have gone would have been magical. I was just ready to leave and to find something new, but mm-hmm. I ended up, you know, somehow randomly in Costa Rica, which is kind of a center for mindfulness, for yoga, for holistic living, and I had the power of now, which was like my Bible at the time. And everywhere I went, I would sit at a cafe and I would order a smoothie or something, and which I'd never had smoothies in my life. I was just, you know, I was so excited to live this new lifestyle. And then people would approach me about this book all the time. So every day I found myself having conversations, deep conversations about you know, power of now or spirituality or just this whole new mindset that I was kind of developing. And I was just, every day I was blown away by people and by life. And I decided really, it took me 10 days. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to stay here. I don't think I want to live in Sweden anymore. I think I'm going to make this home.
So at that point, you decided to do your yoga teacher training?
No, that was still years ahead, actually. So I was still, I did a yoga class here and there, but it took me probably a year and a half of being in Costa Rica. I was really into meditation and purely that. Tried to learn how to surf. And eventually started deepening my practice. I got my first yoga mat, and it was more of a home practice than anything else. I was really scared to take classes because I was always nervous that a teacher would have to put me in a place that my back couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. I had so much pain. And I was also scared to do the wrong thing or, you know, people are going to look at me funny in class if I don't do everything right. So I would take a few classes, and then I would go home, and I would actually apply and kind
integrate
and learn on my own.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So at what time and point did you realize that the yoga practice was something that would be fully integral to your life?
Probably I was in Costa Rica for almost 3 years, so probably my last 6 months there. Really, I started practicing a lot. And it was still a fairly mellow practice. And I took a class with someone, and I was in Shavasana. And then I remember I had this big, kind of huge thought that came into my head in the middle of Shavasana. And the teacher was doing something, saying something. And I was like, oh, when I teach, I'm going to do that differently. And then I caught myself. I was like, when I teach, I'd never said to anyone, oh, I want to be a teacher, or I want to teach. You know, and I was just, when I teach, I thought, okay, well, maybe you should try. So my last year or my last months in Costa Rica, I started teaching to friends and to the people that I worked with and kind of the community where I was, just for free, just to learn on my own. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then eventually took a teacher training. But I was teaching for about a year or more before I did any type of training.
Wow.
Yeah. So which I wouldn't recommend to people, but yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of beautiful when you intuitively become the teacher of friends, you know, when you have enough knowledge to be able to share without saying, oh, I'm the teacher, but it's just like,
right.
Oh, you know, like, yeah, I can help you out in a forward fold or a back bend, or I've learned enough to be able to help you on your path too. So I think that's gorgeous that you started off in the intuition of teaching rather than I have to get my teacher certification to start teaching.
Right. And also I never really thought that this was something that I was going to be doing. You know, it was more because my practice or what I'd learned or what I was teaching at the time came from pain. Mm-hmm. So I learned so much about anatomy, but about alignment, and, you know, really this stemmed from a place of back pain, really, and that's what I would teach. So it would be, you know, I wasn't teaching, you know, vinyasa classes,
and
inversions,
balances?
Nothing. Yeah.
No
it was
split
just,
leg?
No, nothing. No one-armed anything. which was really, you know, I didn't think that would ever be important to my own practice. I was like, this is what I'm going to teach, because, and eventually I transitioned from Aruba and I went, or from Costa Rica and I went to Aruba. Mm-hmm. And here I started teaching at a resort, and everybody that came to my classes, they were retired, they were really, really old, they had hip replacements, knee replacements, or they were brand new beginners, or they were, you know, it wasn't the little lemon-clad power vinyasa yogis that came to these classes.
Santa Monica power vinyasa?
Not quite. So that's kind of how I got, you know, I started teaching full-time, but it was to that type of crowd. It was completely mixed, young people, old people, injured people, and that's how I really started my teaching career, so to speak, was teaching people that had no idea.
Wow.
Which was really, and really valuable.
At this time, when did you start your Instagram?
2 years after I moved to Aruba.
Oh, wow.
So I've been teaching 2 or 3 years, I think, full time, but mm-hmm. in a very, you know, small scale, like resorts and here locally. And in Aruba, there was no yoga community at all at the time. Yoga was really, it's a very Catholic island. People were terrified that yoga was a religious thing, you know, saying namaste at the end of practice was terrifying, or,
oh my goodness,
you know, people really were, oh, I can't practice yoga. I want to stretch, but I can't do yoga because I'm religious, or I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you can bring Jesus to the mat if you want. Like, that's totally okay. You
Jesus
know, this
can
is
come
that.
To my mat?
He can come to my mat. Invite him. But it was really like that, you know, and then I think 2.5 years in, and I was teaching probably 20, 25 classes a week. I was, you know, killing myself teaching. I was teaching to anybody who would listen. I would teach, mm-hmm. you know, classes of 2 people, 3 people. If 15 people showed up, I was, you know, stoked, because that was a huge class for me here. And then somewhere along then, you know, I started an Instagram account. And it wasn't for yoga. It wasn't for my teaching. It was just literally personal, you know, dogs and my breakfast and the beach. And then it kind of organically transitioned into yoga somehow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So at first, when you were teaching, did you find yourself teaching in a sense of like kind of as a lifestyle? Was it like something that you thought was sustainable, obviously, since you were getting these classes at different hotels and resorts? But did it evolve from that into helping others? Because in going to the classes that I've been to with you, it's very heart-centered, and it's very much so almost like an emotional therapy. And I feel like that did that happen as a like a switch or a change in your life where you were like, I have to offer something more than just asana?
I think that part of my teaching really started when I started doing retreats. So versus just having, you know, a group class or a couple classes a week where people would come back. I mean, I'd get to know my students, of course, but it was never, I would never really sit with them for hours and talk about what's really, what brought you to the practice or what's happening in your life. You know, it's that teacher-student relationship, but it's still fairly shallow in a way. And I started leading retreats and would have people come and stay for 10 days or a week and spend literally 24/7 with small, in the beginning, really small groups of people. And I realized that there's so much, you know, the yoga isn't what's important here, really. I mean, the poses that we practice and the breath work, all of that, it's just tools to get into a deeper place of something that these people need to, most of the times, you know, let go of or heal or work through or invite something new into their lives. And that's my strength as a teacher, is bringing that up. And whether we use, you know, asana, or we use like hugs and talking or massage or just community, like centering into a heartfelt space, it doesn't matter what you do to bring that out. And that's kind of where I center my teaching these days. So it's really little, it's not a whole lot about the body anymore. It was in the beginning because it was how I healed. And then it was, you know, my practice got really dynamic and exciting for a while, and that was fun. And then I transitioned back into a really heartfelt space. So awesome. My husband sometimes says, he says, well, if you don't make the whole class cry, you feel like you didn't have a good class, because it's such an emotional experience for me. Like, I cry in every Shavasana that I teach all the time, because it's really about the heart.
That's beautiful. So tell us a little bit about the present now. So you've been living in Aruba. You've built up this huge Instagram following through, I guess, your genuine connection with your followers, because you really are transparent. Like, since the time that I met you, I realized that you're fully yourself in all areas of your life. And I truly enjoy that as being your friend now and someone who also admires the way that you've grown. So with this being said, what would you say brought you to the present state of being where you are today? What would you say are like three aspects of your day-to-day, perhaps, that have brought you to where you are today?
That's a big, big question. I mean, the last four years have been a huge whirlwind, like really. And the idea of, you know, the social media of it all and the online world, I really struggled with that for a long time. I hated the name Yoga Girl for the longest time. I really, really didn't enjoy it. Oh my God, I don't even know. I don't know how I thought of it. I just didn't like the idea of this being a... Ringo, can I help you? I didn't like the idea of it being something commercial. I didn't want to sell a bunch of stuff. I didn't want to... this just wasn't at all what I wanted to do. So people would stop me in the street. They're like, oh my God, Yoga Girl, I love you. And I'm like, well, actually, no, my name is Rachel. Mm. Like, that is not who I am. That's just, you know, something. But then as this has kind of, I mean, 2 years ago, I went through a really, really heavy, heavy year. I lost my best friend in a car accident. My dog passed away. My grandma passed away. And in the middle of all of that, we got married. Like, it was literally the most emotionally intense year of the universe. Like, it was so overwhelming and intense. And somewhere around there, I started really opening up about much, much more deeper things. So I was always really normal and natural, and kind of I would share that, you know, I like to drink wine, but I also drink green juice, and it's okay to be who you are. Like, I was authentic with my following to a certain extent, but I wasn't moving through hell, you know, so I didn't have that part of rawness to share, because I wasn't moving through that. My life was really good and calm, and I think you need to get to a place where things are really fucking horrible to actually show your true colors and to bring out that real raw side of who you are and to really touch other people's hearts. Because if everything is nice and dandy and perfect every day, you're just scratching at the surface of connection, really. Mm-hmm. It's in those dark places that we show who we really are.
Yeah.
So I went through that, and I just kind of turned myself inside out to the whole world. Like, this is my pain, this is my grief. But there were moments where I didn't want to live. I shared that. It was the hardest, but also the most healing process I've ever been through. And after that, everything really, really changed. Like, I really realized that I'm here to do something bigger. I'm here to do something. It's not just doing handstands on a beach. Like, that's not the point. It's not just teaching yoga. It's not just doing retreats. Like, I'm here because maybe I have the ability to, in some shape or form, make a difference on a big scale.
Yeah.
You know, and I started gearing everything toward that.
That's beautiful. So that definitely brings us to our next question, which I feel is just, what are you doing today? Like, what is Rachel Brathen doing now to change the world?
A lot, I feel. I mean, we have a lot of beautiful things going on. So you're a part of 108, which is our online home. It's our home for the online community. And that really came from, it was really organic. I've been, I mean, for years, I think, complaining a little bit about the fact that I don't know where to turn people when they reach out about really difficult stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've really had a hard time with that for years, even before things were this big, before I had this many people in the community. Just, I would kind of drain myself trying to write people back about ideas of, or questions about loss or love or fear or, you know, I'm 18, I don't know what to do with my life, what should I do, how can I get out? Like, I would really answer all of that personally and try and try and try. And then as my journey got deeper, people's questions got a lot heavier and deeper, and
yeah.
I got to a point where I would, maybe once a week, once every other week, I would get a suicide note from someone.
Wow.
Like really, really intense, dark things. And I had nowhere to turn these people, so I would ask, you know, where do you live, where are you from? And I would Google or try to find friends and people who has a therapist, a counselor, a psychologist, a crisis center that I can send this person so this person can get help and support. And it was a huge undertaking to try to find all these people help. So the idea that I had was, what if there was an online place where, you know, of course it should be based in yoga because it's my whole core of everything, meditation, that thing, but also a place where you can turn to when you don't have the answers anymore.
Totally.
People that actually are educated, because that's not, you know, I'm not a counselor. I was sitting there trying to tell these people, you know, give them loving advice, but I'm just, you know, doing my best over here. I'm not.
You can only come from your experience.
And I'm not an expert either. Like, how do you respond to someone who says, hey, I don't want to live? You know, that should not be me. They shouldn't be on Instagram scrolling for answers. Like, they should be somewhere where they can get real help. So
definitely.
I founded 108. It's 108.tv. It's going to be 108.com within the next couple
nice.
Of days.
Awesome.
So probably when this podcast is out, it will be 108.com. So it's a home for yoga, for meditation, for nourishment, for anything and everything that you need for balance and healing, pretty much.
It's beautiful. So you've got 108, and then you've also got 109.
And then we got 109, which is the next level up, the next step. And 109 is a global social mission organization. So we're a nonprofit, and we do campaigns for different urgent global causes. So, for instance, right now we have a campaign going for clean water. It's a 109-day campaign where we raise awareness and funds to provide an entire city in Nicaragua with clean, potable water for the first time ever. And we actually leave in less than a week with 55 people, I think we are,
wow.
to go dig and implement this whole new piping system for this whole city to have water for the
so
first
you're
time.
You're coming into different countries and building infrastructure.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's
awesome.
Still small scale, but
I mean, 50 people is a lot of people, and that means that you're doing something. You know?
Oh, for sure.
Like,
I mean,
first
we could
you have to feed a village before you can feed a town.
A town. I mean,
or
that's,
a city.
We could have taken probably, 200 people. We had to cut it, but this is our first mission trip, and it's going to be intense manual labor. So we do yoga every day. We call it voluntourism. So
mm-hmm.
it's like volunteering, but it's also tourism because you get to enjoy this beautiful place. You get to practice yoga every day. You get to surf. You get to enjoy the culture of the country, but
mm-hmm.
you're there to make a difference. So all the proceeds of everything we raise goes to the cause.
Wow, that's awesome. That's absolutely beautiful.
It's really good. And we have causes in Rwanda, in Africa, in India, in Brazil, in Colombia, in Latvia, in Nicaragua. Like, we're having, you know, we're really global with it. So we're rolling
nice.
Out campaigns after campaigns this year, giving people the opportunity to just kind of on your own realize that you do have the ability to change the world. Like, it doesn't have to be for other people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People really ask, like, how can I in my own community or just on my own, even if you don't have money, maybe you can afford to come to a trip, but there are ways you can get engaged in your own community to make a change. And even just the patterns you have in your day-to-day life, like, that makes a difference, and people
can
don't
you
realize
talk about
that
some of those patterns.
Well, we're in the middle of now a water challenge, actually, where we're challenging people to learn about their own water consumption and their water waste.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just giving some really detailed examples. Like, there's over 70 million young girls and women that spend hours every morning walking to get water for their families. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the average is 3.7 miles they walk every single day to get 5 liters of water. And 5 liters of water is 5 seconds in your shower, right?
Wow.
And that water is supposed to last an entire family drinking, washing, cooking, you know, it's a minuscule amount, and that's what they do every morning. So they don't go to school, a lot of these girls, because they have to get water for the family, and the boys get sent to school instead. So in the challenge, we said, hey, you know what, can you carry, we asked the entire community, can you pick up 5 liters of water, just hold it today, just put it in your backpack, take a walk around your neighborhood, can you walk 4 miles with it, then please do. Just kind of put yourself in the shoes of these girls and notice how intense this is. And then this is what 5 liters correlates to in our day-to-day life. Like flushing the toilet, I mean, it's so much more than that. So just kind of checking in with yourself, how can I make a change? Can I turn the faucet off when I brush my teeth? Can I have a reusable water bottle? Like, can I, you know, how do I wash my car, my dogs? How do I shower? Just looking at that, because a lot of that is unconscious and it makes a difference, you know.
Definitely. That's beautiful. So speaking of making a difference and kind of bringing forth this knowledge, who would you say are some of the leaders, movers and shakers, and inspirational people that have been on your path that have led you to where you are today?
Wow. I mean, I always, whenever people ask me that, I always think of the experiences or the moments that I've had that changed my path a bit, or that, you know, gave me an epiphany of some sort, like, whoa, maybe I'm supposed to be doing this instead. And it's always my students. It's always my community grow and watching my own students delve really deeply into something that's so unknown, and beginners that come to classes. So especially when I teach, because these days I'm blessed, I get to teach sometimes groups of 1,000 people show up, you know, and it's not the advanced yogis that come to these classes. I mean, a little bit, but most of them are fairly new to the practice. They're there because of something really heartfelt. They're not there to learn how to handstand. Like, they're there to learn how to love or learn how to let go. You know, it's really deep. And after every class, it's always really intimate. It's always really emotional, even though the classes are so big. And after every class, I always do a little, we call it a Q&A, but it's more like a cuddle session where everybody gets to share or talk or ask questions. And we pass this mic around. And people will literally stand up in front of a room of 1,000 people and pour their hearts out and share the most intense, you know, sometimes really, really difficult stories and journeys. And then you see people around kind of stand up, and then everybody ends up hugging and just reaching out to be there to support each other and to open up. And so many of those moments have really just moved me to the point where I've made a difference or made a change, you know, in where I'm going. So there was a moment where I was going maybe towards that, oh, you know, I could be this super yoga star, and I could, like, you know, sell a bunch of clothes and, like, open a big yoga center, and I could do blah, 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 teacher trainings. And I don't know, a part of me kind of went that way in the beginning, and then I was knocked through that community. Like, nope, go here. Like, serve. Be of service, whatever that is. If it's saving animals or, like, helping people that are in need, or just giving people some tools to get in touch with their own hearts. Like, whatever it is, just serve. And it's been the right choice.
Definitely.
And along the way, you can do all that fun stuff, too. Like, I mean, you know, because it is a business, it is a brand. Like, I'm realizing that now, and I'm embracing it more. But the heart of it is always the people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What advice would you give to those who have a significant following and wish to serve in a way that is most in alignment with their passion?
That's a great question. I think to get to that place, you have to get in touch with something really uncomfortable within yourself. Like, you're not going to just wake up one morning and, you know, life's great and dandy and awesome and let's move forward and, oh my God, like, I'm going to change my path, or I'm going to move away from a commercial space and focus on being, of service. I think you have to get in touch with a really uncomfortable, dark side of yourself where you realize that this is where I need healing, this is where my greatest lessons are, you know, and usually it is through painful things like death or trauma or crisis or divorce or disease or whatever it is that we all move through it in time, and we can choose to run away from that and patch it up and just move forward with what we're doing, or we can really, really open up and let that transform us and change us and let us become more vulnerable to life, which
Definitely.
Is a hard thing to do. And I think from that, you know, we get more in touch with the hearts of others as well. And I think if you have influence, you know, if you can do big things, like, choose the right big things to do. Really, like, because we have that choice over and over. And I think abundance and all of that, all of the great fun stuff, like material wealth and abundance, and, you know, everybody's kind of chasing that. We all want that for ourselves. It comes when you're of service and when you're in the place you're supposed to be, and you don't have to fight for it or struggle for it. It just arrives when it needs to be there.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think so.
Wow. So this brings us to what I would call one of the biggest questions is, what is yoga to you?
That's also a big question. I think, I mean, it changes all the time. really. I mean, it's my place to heal. It's my place to strengthen, to find confidence. Like, I mean, it's everything. But it's how I reach out into the world, for sure. I mean, without yoga, I wouldn't have the ability to connect with such a vast community. So it's how I reach out and I can really make all of these connections. But most importantly, it's how I reach within myself. You know, it's how I get back to quiet and a place where everything's okay. So even if, you know, it's not, it is.
I like that.
What yoga awesome. Is, yeah. But it changes, you know, ask me in 6 months, it'll be something else.
I'll have to take the recording from when we did the interview in the division and send you
yes.
that, what you said then.
Oh my God, we should do this just every year.
Let's do it. Totally.
See how it moves.
I plan on doing multiple episodes with the different people who I interview because there's so many different topics that people are now like, oh, like, why didn't you ask them this?
Mm.
So it's like I'm most likely going to have to interview you multiple times.
That's
and I'm
amazing.
Sure I'll be back.
And you're going to be back in every bunch. I know it.
Awesome. So I like to end things with three words of advice, whether they be quotes or just things that resonate most with you, just little golden nuggets that you can give our listeners, those who may be on their practice, perhaps their teachers or students who are looking to grow more and be revealed to yoga.
Little nuggets of wisdom. I think I'm reflecting a lot in right now in my life on drama and the idea of letting things go and actually actively letting them go. I had a teacher once have the whole room like pick up a pen or a stone or whatever you had around you, like pick it up and hold it with your palm facing up and really grab a hold of it, you know, hold on to that stone. And then she said, and then let it go. And then you let it go, but it's still there in the palm of your hand, right? And she's like, okay, grab it again, turn your palm upside down so your palm is facing down, and now let go. And you let go and it drops. So the idea of, you know, having difficult things arise in your life or drama or whatever it is that's kind of keeping you from living authentically to where you're supposed to be, there's letting go, but there's also letting shit go.
Yeah.
You know, and
dropping it and getting it out of life
and realizing that this serves me and this doesn't. So you can actually choose where you direct your attention. And a lot of us, we spend too much time focusing on the negative or the drama or the things that we don't want versus looking over here where all the beautiful things that we have to be grateful for already exist. So I think, you know, let more shit go. That's my golden nugget.
Golden nuggets.
That's my golden nugget.
Some people can't swallow them. Well, the Yoga Revealed podcast listeners and community are better for your beautiful advice. Thank you so much for your service to the world.
Thank you.
It's an absolute blessing to see your growth and to be in your presence.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Namaste.
I'll see you soon again. I know that.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. You can learn more about Rachel Brathen at rachelbrathen.com. Make sure to check out her awesome platform for learning at 108.tv, where you can watch me teach Yoga Girl and Dennis how to connect and support through acro yoga. And for daily inspiration, don't forget to follow the one and only yoga_girl on Instagram. And special treat, Yoga Revealers, now you can practice acro yoga with me on 108TV and my awesome group of three. I've got the one and only Caitlin Turner, aka Gypset Goddess, and Julio Bogdan, aka FitFlex Huli, and we have the dopest community of three. We'll be teaching you guys how to fly online today. Blessings indeed. Live your light. Shine bright. Until next time, yogis. Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.